people around here trust the shepherds. Jamie, Adam, and the other Jamie. They always have. The sheep trust them too. Gather round, I'll throw another log on the fire and turn it up just a touch, cause another episode of the podcast is starting now.
Brand new episode of the podcast starts now. Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, Adam.
Do it smooth.
Hey.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to this episode. It is my great opportunity and good fortune to introduce my friend, comedian Mikey Winfield.
Hey, I'm in here. What's going on? How are you guys?
You been all right?
Hey, extraordinary. You know, I feel like I'm in a business of waves. Generally, I'm on an even keel, even when it's going great. And then when it's going terrible, I'm just like, eh, it'll be great again soon.
Do you feel like Perfect. You've completely reset from the pandemic?
Feel like it's a lot of kind of PTSD, man, just from being home with my wife for a year and just kind of staring at her the entire time and her staring back. And I'm not getting over that like soon. And I wasn't essential. So that's why I wasn't working. My wife's just a stay at home person.
Yeah.
You know, so she was just there. And it was, we have to coexist.
You know, people talk about the mystery.
With your spouse?
Yeah. Being home and everybody being in everybody else's business. A lot of the mystery was revealed.
The mystery faded?
The mystery faded. Do you think there were people that got so fed up with each other that they chose the risk of COVID over hanging out with their spouse?
Totally.
So like, I'm literally going out into public because I would rather catch COVID from a stranger than spend five more minutes with you.
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
100%.
That happened a lot. Even in successful marriages and in strong marriages, that happened.
In reading articles, more affairs happen in quote-unquote happier marriages. I read that article too. It's not the ones where people are like, oh, I'm unhappy or this is what I'm not getting. It's the ones that are like, man, I got a strong foundation.
Right.
Now let me start some other foundations.
All right. So let's get into the lightning round questions.
Yes.
We always give a sample question to the guests to get them acclimated to how the format works. So the first question to you is clockwise or counterclockwise?
Counter.
All right. Counterclockwise, starting with Adam.
All right. What is the best thing you can buy for less than $100?
A charger.
Yep.
Do you believe in ghosting on a fundamental level?
No. No.
Superficial level?
No. It's a strong no with ghosting.
There you go. Good.
I appreciate the fact that you were trying to support my question. You weren't sure where I was going, and you were trying to give it something more, and it was just like, no. You know, it's just no.
Ghosting is wrong. That's a no.
Yeah, because, you know, it could lead to situations you don't want it to lead to. So you can't have a real hard shut the door because that person might come back and knock on the door where your family is. And you don't want that to happen.
Right.
On a fundamental or superficial level.
Mike, I have typed in a search term on Twitter. Okay. I'm going to read to you the first tweet under the latest category. And I want you to imagine it is the first sentence of a book. Tell me the character and the kind of book it is.
Okay.
I burned over you, my love, and I need you in my life. I'll always miss you because I already know you in places you haven't yet discovered.
Whoa, that's a heavy tweet.
Okay, great. Yeah, this is it's actually the book is like a suicide note, actually.
Oh.
And it's a guy. It's a guy character. And he's pretty much putting all his messages out there, what could have happened.
Wow.
What things could have been.
Dark.
And this is where we stand now.
Yeah. It's kind of a sign off.
You got to be really patient. If you're committing suicide and your suicide note has to go through the publishing process, like there's editors reaching out to you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, this chapter two, we might want to tweak this a little bit. And
when your book is your suicide note, essentially, you
right.
know, it's like, they're like, right. yeah, we'd like to rewrite this section. Can you just hold off on the hanging for another week?
There's a delay in shipping.
Yeah, no editing after that. You know? Yeah. And it's like,
what's your hanging?
What do you mean?
No more.
What's there?
Yeah. All right. What's socially acceptable, but really shouldn't be?
Socially acceptable, but really shouldn't be.
Gotcha.
Socially, yeah, you got me on that one. What's socially acceptable that shouldn't be? Oh, yeah, the waitress coming over and asking, are we going to split the checks? Oh. I think that should be texted to you personally. They should just they should text that to each individual and then get the answers back and then come back with which unanimous. Because when you do it publicly and it's multiple people and you're like, split it, and everyone's like, oh, Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Oh, we're splitting it? Yeah. Oh, I only pay for what I ate.
Actually, it should be like a safe word that when you're ordering, you order, everybody makes their orders, and then they get to you and say, what can I get you? And you'll be like, oh, so I'm going to have the cheeseburger. I'll have it medium. And when it comes time to end the meal, we're going to have banana splits.
Oh, banana splits. Which we're going to go banana splits. Splits this whole thing. Yeah. Right. Yeah, got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, got to have code words.
Code word.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, so what would be the perfect meal, the perfect place to enjoy it in, and the perfect person to enjoy it with? And if you could have that perfect meal in the perfect place with that perfect person, would you be willing to also have to take care of a sloth for a year in order to have that?
Whoa.
Wow, wow, wow. That's extraordinary. So, I mean, I could tell you the perfect meal is like, lately, it would be like some vegan macaroni and cheese, you know? And if we're really going through wanting to know the answers, you know, like a coffee shop. Oh man, so comfortable sometimes. A little bit of scenery, not too much traffic.
Yep.
So you, now you got the bowl of vegan mac, you got the coffee shop. And then you want someone, that perfect person, to be someone who's just gonna make your life easy. Just everything. They're just like, I just want to see you happy. So every move and everything they say, they just are trying to make you happy. And if you know you're gonna get the chance to be with someone who's just wants to make you happy. Yeah, I would do the sloth. I would take care of it. It would be worth it for a year.
For that vegan coffee shop with the good company.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
What's the background music in that coffee shop while you're enjoying your vegan mac and cheese with that perfect person?
Definitely opera.
Oh, snap. That took a turn I didn't expect.
Yeah, you know what I've been bumping lately is this, it's called like Carmina. It's this one, you've heard it before, and it goes, pum, pum, pum. Oh, man. It's kind of my walkout music lately. It's very dramatic, and it just, it makes you want to work harder.
All right. My question to you is the following. Pick the game where you get to hit the home run, score the basket, throw the pass, kick the field goal, game and team. Which one do you want to win the championship?
Oh, man. You know, I've played some sports, but the ones that I didn't, and I just circumstances didn't allow it, it would have been baseball, right?
Yeah.
So I want, man, pick the game. And you mean like a specific
world game in history?
Saying, like, is there a classic moment where you're like, I grew up a Dodgers fan. If I could be in the time machine and be the Kirk Gibson, right?
Right, right. You know what? Then I'm going to just go back to basketball.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to, it's probably 97, 98. I want to be Jordan where I push, and I want to really push Byron Russell.
Whoa.
Like, I want to really push him. Oh, okay. Yeah, he shoved his ass. Okay. I want to push him where it's so blatantly obvious that he has the handprint still on the good side, night. And he shows good that night. In his interview. In his interview, he's like, no, he did push me. Look, there's Jordan's print. Right on my side. And
you, my friend, just walked into a shitstorm.
And then I hit the J. And then I walk off the court with my arm out, knowing this is my last game for 3 years. Because I'm in my prime still.
You mean that game where Michael Jordan was sick? He had an upset stomach the night before? The most over-dramatized. And the one. So I'm a huge Utah Jazz fan. So you just walked into the wrong story. And that still stings every time I see it. And every time I see that play, I just yell, he pushed off! He pushed off!
Oh, man. Even worse, they didn't even know his name. They were calling him Brian Russell. Then they were calling him Byron Russell. Yeah, then they were calling him Brian Russell again. Yeah, exactly. They just disrespected him completely. And he had a handprint in his side.
Dang.
And Jordan walks off. Wow.
Dang. Wow. That hurts.
All right, that's going to do it for the first of our lightning round segments. This is the Bobcast. Jamie, and Adam, our comedian guest, Mr. Mike E. Winfield.
I might not be
back. Don't wander too far. You'll be back. We will all be back with more right after this.
So perfect meal, I wouldn't choose a vegan meal as the perfect meal. And I wonder, if a vegetarian was being executed, do you think in their final meal, they go vegetarian, or do they say, might as well, it's my last meal?
I think it's worth exploring what is the concept of perfection. So when you contemplate things like the perfect meal, does that meal stay the same when it's with your perfect person? And your final pre-execution meal.
So for the final meal, you're not worried about calories, you're not worried about fat content, you're not worried about anything, you're just having the perfect meal. And of course, if you're having a meal with a person, you might want to adjust what you're having. There might be a different meal, the perfect meal that you would have alone versus with, say, your spouse.
That's my question. So I would say then it defies the definition of a perfect meal, because a perfect meal should translate to any circumstance, any company. It is the perfect meal.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go vegan.
You're getting focused on the wrong thing. I'm saying a single slice of leftover pizza could be the perfect meal if it's with the perfect company. But no meal could be perfect if you know that upon its completion, you're being executed.
Would you be more upset about the insult to the concept of mac and cheese because it's vegan and has no actual cheese, or the execution?
So I think mac and cheese is like your best friend. Mac and cheese is the person who always wants to make you happy, because mac and cheese could care less what you put in it. Mac and cheese will let itself be prepared vegan. Mac and cheese will let you put shrimp and hot sauce in it. Mac and cheese just wants you to be happy. And when all you want is to be happy, who do you go to? You go to mac and cheese. We are back now. Next segment of the podcast begins now. Jamie, and Adam, comedian Mikey Winfield, is our guest this episode. This is the segment. This is the portion of the show where we maybe flesh out some of those things from our first lightning round answers. And gentlemen, is there one that comes to mind?
Can we talk about disappointing moments in Utah Jazz history?
Oh, I don't think we should do that. The list is so friggin' long of disappointments in Utah Jazz history.
All right. I have one that I want to flesh out.
Okay.
And it's a little bit deep.
Oh, let's go.
So do you want to bang out some shallow stuff first?
Let me get a quick shallow one, and then I want to go to your deep.
Okay.
So let's talk about you started with baseball as the big play, how much fun it would be to do like the last big hit. Now, my question is, would you rather be the guy that hits the home run to win the game, or would you rather be the pitcher that just throws gas past the guy who swings for the moon and he misses it?
That's good. I would rather be the pitcher, because what the pitcher can do is he can start walking as the ball's still in the air when he throws it.
Yeah.
He's so confident. So
I know it. I know it. I don't care who you are. You ain't hitting this. Bam.
Walking off.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, man, I can imagine that feeling. It just looks like such a great feeling.
Just watching this huge man swing a bat at this ball that you're throwing, and he's swinging as hard as he can, and he just fans it.
And he's second, third, or fourth in the lineup. So you know he has hitting ability.
Yep. But he can't hit your stuff. Able. He can't hit your stuff.
Yeah, that would be, that would be such an extraordinary feeling. It would be crazy.
Yeah, if you actually walked off, you throw the pitch, you don't even wait.
Yep.
Well, where's he going?
You just know it.
Yep.
Umpire just,
This is it.
And you want the ump to be real loud on that one. Like, I like when they say that.
I think part of being a successful ump is having a demonstrative thing.
You mean when you throw somebody out?
You gotta go, whatever your move is.
I would go for the incredibly long yanking of the chain where I just pull them back, you know, when I strike them out. Jamie, you had an incredibly deep question.
All right, so I had deep questions. So we talked earlier a little bit, touched on the nature of happiness in the ideal meal with the ideal companion.
Yes.
When you talked about being with a person who is committed exclusively to your happiness. And my question is, does that require you to be clear on what your happiness actually is? Because you can have a person who says, I'm just committed to your happiness, but is wrong about what your happiness is.
Okay.
You know, I feel like you should let them know, but when they have the energy and you know someone is giving you a whatever it takes, things are going to fall into place. And I think communication's huge. Yeah, you should say, when you do these things, when you show up with dried noodles, oh man, it really warms my heart. So now this person's going to show up with dried noodles because it's already in their nature to do that for you. So it starts with having the person. I think the communication of what things you love will just come in time. There's going to be more that you don't even know. This other person is going to do things and you're going to say, I didn't even know I loved this that much, but you're committed to my happiness.
But if they're doing something that they truly believe makes you happy, even if it doesn't make you happy, will it make you happy because of how committed they are to making you happy?
Absolutely, yes. It's almost like the fact that they want to.
Yeah, the effort.
I just appreciate how affirmative your answer was, because I don't think it was a very good question. I don't think I worded it well, but you just really, again, you supported my question. I appreciate it.
I feel like I got
He's just trying to make you happy.
I know. Yeah.
He's trying to make you happy. He's putting the effort in.
That's what I always struggle with, because I think I've been bad at that at various times in my life. I think there have been times where people have been invested in my happiness and I was uncertain about my happiness because what they were trying to make me happy about didn't seem like it was making me happy.
Are you talking about us?
What are you saying?
I'm saying sometimes people can say, I'm doing this to make you happy. And I'm saying, what am I doing that makes you think that would make me happy?
Adam and me?
So you haven't been clear about what makes you happy.
I feel like you're bypassing my question.
To these people that are attempting to.
I'm saying maybe they had a better understanding of what my happiness was.
Oh.
And I was wrong. Wow. I didn't understand what was my own happiness. And they were able to see better what my happiness truly was.
Interesting.
You know, you hear people say that you don't know what you had until you lose it. You know, in situations like that, when you go back and you're like, wow, when they were, you know, folding my shirts up, I didn't know how much I appreciated that.
Right.
But now that every day your shirts are wrinkled and you're wearing them out and they're still wrinkled, you're like, damn, I had these things folded and I left and it was so simple that I didn't even know that was really a great portion of my life.
Of happiness. I was actually thinking when you're talking about the appreciate something after you've lost it, maybe I'm going to miss Bad Dog.
What?
Maybe.
You haven't lost Bad Dog, though. Maybe, we haven't lost him yet, though.
I almost didn't go chase Bad Dog. Bad Dog ran away yesterday, and I contemplated for a long enough time period where he could have escaped just not to go chase him.
Go. So, Mike, Jamie has a good dog and a bad dog, and he dotes on one dog, and he completely neglects the other dog. Neglects is a strong word. He disagrees with on many different intellectual levels.
And we do talk about Bad Dog a lot, but I do think that this time it's appropriate because I do think Bad Dog probably is 100% committed to Bendel's happiness.
Oh, no.
100% committed.
I think I've just proved my theory.
No, he may be wrong in his approach.
He's wrong.
But he's 100% committed.
But he's committed to making you happy. See, he just doesn't know how to do it.
No, he doesn't know how to do it, and that makes him a terrible dog.
But it's the effort, though. Yeah,
you should be happy by his attempt to make you happy.
No, that's the whole point.
He loves it when I run away every time he opens that door.
He comes and gets me with his car. He really loves me.
He loves that. I'm going to do it every time just to make Jamie smile.
Good dog. Check out. He loves when I dig in the yard.
That sounds like something you could appreciate.
Yeah,
he's trying all wrong. Like, there got to be fun stories to share.
That's right.
No story's got to bring joy.
I got to tell you, I like the energy that Mike's putting out in the world. He's just talking about waves, riding the waves, getting on a good wave, getting on a bad wave. Don't let it rock you too much.
It's true.
It's a good karma you're putting out in the world.
Hey, you know what? I would hope so.
Mike would never refer to his dog as Bad Dog.
Probably not.
He would refer to him as Trying Hard Dog or Giving It 100% Effort Dog. He would take care of a sloth just to have vegan mac and cheese with the right person.
Let me just insert here for the record that in the event that he had a sloth that was a runner, not going to get very far.
It's not a big deal if the sloth runs away.
The sloth runs away. You got like 3 days. Yeah. You got 3 days.
Hey, honey, the sloth's out. Remind me to go check on him and get him later.
Tomorrow. I got to go get the sloth tomorrow.
An hour later, you're like, I think he's at the end of the driveway.
Yeah. Teddy does always run to the same place.
There he goes. Do you know why he runs to the same place? Yeah. Because he wants to make you happy.
Yeah. Adam, do you see what just happened?
Yes.
He just referred to him as Teddy.
Real name. Yeah. I know. I just thought I'd go with him.
He gave Bad Dog a real name. It's so beautiful.
I know.
This is a moment.
I think we need to end on that.
All right. We're going to be back with more of the lightning round here on the podcast right after this.
Do you really think that it is in a dog's nature, any dog, to seek anything but its owner's happiness?
I'm not certain that a dog understands happiness.
They may not understand their own happiness, but they understand their owner's happiness.
I think that dogs are pain avoidance. So they learn that when I do this set of behaviors, good things happen. And when I do that set of behaviors, bad things happen, and I want to avoid bad things happening.
I just like to think of the dogs as just always seeking my happiness. Now, kittens, I think, do the same. But something happens as a kitten becomes a cat. And once it's a cat, it is now seeking to cause pain.
I'm not a cat person.
Who is?
And I think it's possible that Bad Dog is, in fact, a cat. Maybe that's the thrust of the disagreement.
And it would be more efficient if he was a cat, because he wouldn't have to say Bad Cat. You could just say Cat.
Second and final lightning round for this episode of the podcast begins now. Jamie, and Adam, our special guest comedian Mike E. Winfield, is here with us this evening. So would you like to continue clockwise or counterclockwise?
No, let's go clockwise now.
Clockwise, starting with Adam.
Mike, what do you think makes life worth living?
Oh, man. Balance.
That's beautiful. Balance is a great answer. Jamie.
So continuing the theme of deep questions, daylight savings time, discuss.
Okay, yeah, you know.
Are you pro or anti?
No, I'm with it. I'm with it, you know. I like it certain times of the year. It's like, oh, man, it's gonna get dark earlier. Now we got a longer night. Now we can even eat earlier and it feels better because it's dark out.
Bendel, you're up.
My turn. Mike, I'm going to read you a quote that was posted as a meme on Instagram. Mm. I would like to tell you to tell me if the quote is real and if you could guess correctly any portion of the poster's Instagram handle.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, heck. A shaman was asked, what is poison? And the answer, anything beyond what we need is poison. It can be power, laziness, food, ego, ambition, vanity, fear, anger, or whatever.
Definitely real.
Real answer?
Definitely real answer.
Okay.
And the handle is at Spirituality Plus.
Okay. For extra points, are there any symbols, emojis in the Instagram name?
Oh, yeah. It's the sunlight.
Sunlight.
It's the sunlight and it's something blue and yellow.
Adam.
Mike, what was your oh, that could have been so much easier moment?
Oh, that could have been so much.
When did you do it the hard way?
Oh, yeah. So I owned a car, right, when I started comedy, you know, and I didn't take it in for service, you know, and that was at peak road years. So I made it to 239,000 within 5 years.
Whoa.
But you know what? If I would have took it in for service, it could have been so much easier.
Right.
Really lasted.
That car hated you. It's like, please just change my oil, man.
Regrets.
All right, this is a multi-part question. First part, what is your favorite type of cloud?
What's the one with the most precipitation? That one when you go through and it goes, shoosh. It's like, which cloud is the wet one? The one that you just go through.
I think that's cumulus cloud.
I think they call that fog.
Oh.
If you could have a cloud form the perfect shape, what would that shape be?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. I like the one that looks like, it just looks like almost like cotton. And it's just very soothing. It looks soft. It looks like if it was over you, it would still be sunny.
The perfect cloud.
Right. Okay, yeah. So then last question. If you could have the opportunity to see that perfect cloud in the perfect location with the perfect person, would you be willing to abandon your responsibilities to the sloth?
I will not abandon the sloth because I'm getting the sloth so that I can have that vegan Mac with that person in that coffee shop. So,
Mike, what is your favorite word that starts with a G?
My favorite word that starts with a G? Probably gigantic.
Gigantic is a solid word.
Yeah, because, you know, like, big is normally enough to describe.
No.
When someone has to go out and say gigantic, it's like, it's such an exaggeration.
It's not large. It's not
brings
big.
Me joy.
It's gigantic.
And it's when G gets to say, I'm not going to be Ga right now. I'm going to be gigantic. Right. All right, Mike, a parakeet goes into a bar in South Texas. What drink does he order?
Margarita.
Yep.
Like a giant margarita?
No, they only need a little one.
Yeah.
You know, when they drop the glass inside the glass for shots?
that's
they would drink it
glass.
Out of the one. Yeah,
yeah,
that one.
Elephants, however, have gigantic margaritas.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, they're really good.
My final question?
Indeed.
Mike, what is the greatest love song of all time?
Oh, yeah. It was Whitney when she said, you can't take away my dignity. You're like, wow. Wow. It was that one.
That one.
If the parakeet came into the bar and you were in the bar and the parakeet came in and was singing that song, would you buy the parakeet the drink?
I don't think you would have to. I think everyone would be buying that parakeet.
That's right. They're like, look at that guy. I'm buying his round.
Right. I'd be out of line. I think that drinks on the house. That's right. How it works. You come in singing that.
If you found yourself in jail and you were in a cell and you get to, and you were the first one to make, to enter the cell, but you know you're going to get a roomie coming behind you, do you take the top bunk or the lower bunk?
Man, you know what? Ooh.
Right? Tough. It's a lot.
It's tough. Yeah. The bottom. I would take the bottom bunk.
Thank you.
Oh, whoa.
Thank you.
Wow. This is the question that gets posed a lot on the show, and usually top bunk is the way to go.
So why the bottom?
Because if the other person, I don't trust them. So if they're underneath me, I can't have the same eyes on them than I can have if I'm in the top. I'm more vulnerable.
Thank you.
Whoa.
100%.
That's the first time this that's ever been. That's a great point.
It's my whole theory.
No, your whole theory was you like that it could be like your own little fort or your own little cave.
Right, my own little space. So yeah. The guy I don't trust, I know where he's coming from.
You're always watching him. Well, right, then
you have your expectations.
I like that, actually. I've been a solid top bunker, but for the first time of all the guests we've had, that's an excellent point that you gotta be eyes on. You gotta be able to watch people.
Hopefully you both are in there for the same thing. Then you got things in common right off the bat.
I don't want to make light of the challenges that come with being incarcerated.
Right.
Because I would assume there are some. But it would be interesting if you were in there with a person who had committed the same crime as you, because you know that you think your crime is superior.
You're like, I pulled that bank robbery off significantly better.
Whatever the crime is. You'd be like, oh, really? Yeah. No wonder you got caught. If you had to choose a roommate, your choice is someone similarly situated to you.
More like identical, if possible.
Okay. Yeah. So identical, if possible. And in theory, would you want same crime, same time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right. So I'm going to bring this back to the lightning round, and I'm going to have my final question, but I do want to get a little serious.
Do I get skipped?
Serious here. No, you're... Oh, I did skip you. No, I didn't.
I just did mine.
Yeah, you're last. Relax.
Don't worry.
Okay. So you're at that bar in South Texas. You're with the parakeet. You've been, you're drinking with the parakeet.
All
night. Parakeet is really drunk.
Well, he's very small, so it doesn't drink a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's been drinking all night. You find yourselves locked in a room. It's you and this parakeet, dark room, and you're told the only way out, and the parakeet's told the same thing, is to kill the other one. And you've gotten to know him. You even know his name. I forget what his name was. Did we name him?
No.
We didn't. Okay. So you got to know his name.
Probably Petey.
Petey. He's told you that you can call him Pete.
Whoa.
Okay. Whoa.
Do you get out of that room?
I actually had the honor in Atlanta to do flotation. I think they called it flotation therapy.
Yeah.
And the experience was great for me, but I couldn't close the egg completely. Like you're in like an egg-shaped thing, and I couldn't pull it down because it was just dark. And then I had to live alone with my own thoughts. And up to a point, I'm fine with that. But up to another point, I'm really not. So if I'm in this room and it's dark, like you say, and that's the only way out, I'm killing Pete.
Okay. Okay.
He's even calling him Pete.
Yeah.
As he kills him.
No, but out of respect.
Pete. Sorry, Pete. Rest in peace.
Dignity death, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bendel.
I'm out. I thought I had no more questions.
No, you get one more. It went this way.
Yeah. I think you were the one who initiated the bonus round.
I did initiate bonus round, but I didn't ask the first question.
I did.
Because that's how it goes.
Okay. All right. My turn. Back to my turn. In my hypothetical, you have a twin brother. Are you fraternal or identical?
Definitely identical, because I want to try to play the trick one day.
Yeah. Yeah,
I want to try to do that and just see if it works.
Right.
It sounds like it's a lifetime full of fun. And when you master it, you can do it often.
Right.
And especially even if you're identical and years pass and one of you ate differently. So your weights are a little off. And now you're like, man, I'm putting this weight. It just sounds like the comedy and the entertainment just never ends with that. Especially when you don't reveal.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of pressure to be called the fat twin.
No, but the great thing about the fat twin is he goes into the other guy's office or whatever, and everyone's afraid to mention the weight gain. Like, they're all like, that would be really rude if we bring up how
I'm
much.
I'm pretty sure you gained 20 pounds last night.
Like, your lunch was huge. What did you eat for Thanksgiving, bro?
Definitely identical. Yeah.
Before we go, quick follow-up question. If you went into that jail cell and your roommate was already there and had already claimed bottom bunk, do you sleep on the floor to maintain that lower trajectory?
Well, see how the lights just went out. What I've learned to do is I don't even need a bunk, really. I know how to sleep standing in a corner.
Dang. Oh.
And do you know the intimidation factor that comes with someone who can sleep standing?
You could be the roommate of a murderer if you're the carburetor thief, but you sleep standing up in the corner.
Still intimidating. Oh,
you are intimidating the hell out of that murderer. Yep.
Murder scared.
Like, all day. He's like, how does he do it?
What's he doing?
Right. Oh, and imagine if you could sleep with your eyes open standing up.
I don't know if he's sleeping standing.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of the episode.
Indeed. It's been a good one. A lot of positivity.
So, Mike, where are people going to find you online, social media? How are they going
to
find you?
If they go to bigassteeth.com, they'll find me pretty immediately. Or if they go to anything Mike E. Winfield. Did you feel the pauses?
I did.
Yeah, because the E's in the middle.
Right.
So it's Mike, and then there's an E, and then there's Winfield. And it's like win, like victory, and then field, like field. It's just that simple. And I'm all online, even YouTube. You know what? I even have a YouTube page now.
Nice.
And it has hours of stand-up content as well as a bunch of other junk.
So you're going to be back in Atlanta before too long. So we will see you in 2022 at least one time. And I'm always excited about it. One of the funniest guys on stage in my book. It's great to be able to talk to you, and continued success, my friend. Thanks for being a guest on the podcast.
Hey, always we a love pleasure. You, Mike. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
All right. That was comedian Mike E. Winfield. Check him out at a comedy club near you. For Jamie, and Adam, this has been the podcast. See you soon, sheep. Taka taka.
Fire's getting low. This episode of the podcast is over. Time to go home now, sheep. Go on, back to where you came from. We'll call you back when it's time for another podcast. Taka taka.